Chapter 24. The numbers on Luke's chrono read 1152 GST. At precisely 12 GST, a brigade of void jumpers would hit the exhaust port. That meant Luke and his team had 8 minutes. 8 minutes for three Jedi to do the impossible or die. The Jedi obviously were hoping for the impossible. Their objective was a small deflector shield generator that protected the main exhaust port in this corner of the temple. It lay 150 meters ahead at the end of a long run of ventilation ducting. Between Luke's team and the objective were two vertical air shafts, which joined the main duct from below. Technically, the shafts were called stack heads, but in his exhaustion, Luke could no longer remember why the engineers used such an odd term. He knew only that the shafts were a pair of broad, windy chasms spaced roughly 50 meters apart, and that the grit they carried was going to make advancing down the cramped duct feel even more like being caught in a Tatooine dust storm. But at least the duct's maintenance lighting had been activated, so it was possible to see the biggest problem that Luke and his team faced. At the far end of the run, beyond the second stack head, four Sith were kneeling behind a tripod-mounted heavy blaster. The deflector shield generator, of course, was behind the Sith, floating on a tethered hover sled in the middle of the exhaust port. If Luke and his team succeeded in destroying the shield generator, several thousand elite void jumpers would come crashing through the exhaust port. Along with their Jedi liaisons, they would disperse throughout the temple and open other breaches in the Sith defenses, and the rest of Watto's Space Marine volunteers would flood in to finish the job. This new assault plan would cost many more Galactic Alliance lives than the Admiral's original plan, but the Sith would quickly find themselves cornered and outnumbered, and the Jedi and their allies would sooner or later liberate the Jedi Temple. Liberating the Temple would not win the war against the Sith, or even end the battle for Coruscant, but Luke and his allies were counting on it to be the turning point, when the Sith went from entrenched defenders to hunted quarry, and the momentum swung back toward the Jedi. All Luke's team had to do was take out that shield generator. On most days, that would have been an easy job for two Jedi Masters and Jaina Solo, who, as the Sword of the Jedi, had proven time and again that she was the combat equal of anyone in the Order. But Luke and his two companions were not at their normal best. They had been fighting and retreating, mostly retreating, for far too long. At this point, they were all suffering from serious wounds. Jaina had a broken arm and probably several broken ribs. Corrin had lost 2 fingers to a stray blaster bolt, and he was limping around on a knee swollen to the size of a hubba gourd. Luke had taken a blow to the head that still had him seeing stars, and he had a painful lightsaber burn along his left side. They were all drawing on the Force so heavily that they were virtually glowing with cell overload. Jaina had already entered a stage of Force euphoria, and it would not be long before she experienced a crash every bit as severe as a spice head coming down from an overdose.